Welcome to the Secure Serengeti. We're your hosts, David Swinger and Matthew Keener. Stop what you're doing and subscribe to our podcast and leave us an awesome five-star review and follow us at Serengeti Sec on Twitter.
We're here to talk more about cybersecurity. We've decided to do something a little different. We had so much fun talking about government overreach a few weeks ago, we thought we should do it again. So welcome to our first episode on a continuing series on the coming tech dystopia.
And as it's quite apparent by, you know, what we're going to be talking about, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are ours alone and do not reflect the views or opinions of our overlords, I mean, employers.
Don't forget, if you have a date with somebody that's ugly, make sure they put the paper bag on before they get to your house. Otherwise, your Ring doorbell will still upload the picture and the NSA will still put you on their list of people that date ugly people. All right. So we're talking facial recognition, if you couldn't tell based on the hilarious joke that is so funny.
Hey, Jack, I've smeared off too much for that joke.
It's a classic. But this did start with an article. We saw this random article where it was talking about how Ukraine is using Clearview AI's facial recognition technology during the conflict. So we thought we might have kind of an overarching discussion on facial recognition and surveillance technology. But first, just to talk about that specific article, Ukraine's defense ministry has begun using Clearview AI's facial recognition to uncover Russian assailants by identifying people of interest at checkpoints, where they're looking for the ability to quickly identify Russian operatives and stop them before they can go through and kill anybody.
Just to say, you know, where are they getting this information on the Russian operatives?
It's later. It talks about later, but it does mention that Clearview could analyze more than 2 billion images from the Russian social network VKontakte, and its overall database contains over 10 billion photos. So there's no guarantee that it has all the Russian people, but it has a certain number of them.
No, but I mean, just because you're a Russian, that automatically means you're a partisan infiltrating the lines in Ukraine.
Oh, I see. I see.
How do they know? I mean, are they just, you know, trolling the Russian soldier Facebook? And you know, if anybody was ever in the Russian military, they're on the list. If you're a Russian citizen, are you on the list? You know,
the
I'm
list.
Just saying, how do they determine, you know, who's on the list?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And as mentioned in many articles on the Russian-Ukraine war, lots of people in Russia have relatives on the other side and lots of people in Ukraine have relatives on the other side. They were part of a single union, you know, 30 years ago. And there was lots of interbreeding. Is that not true? Laughing at interbreeding.
It just made me think of, you know, crossbreeding cattle or something. A lot of interbreeding between the Russian and Ukrainian species.
So there's probably a lot of false positives there.
Yeah, I think it's really dangerous if we're trying to make decisions at a checkpoint on what they're going to do. You know, someone could get shot over that.
Someone probably has. They'll also be using this to combat misinformation and to identify the dead. Apparently, it works even if there's facial damage.
Yeah, although there was research done by the Department of Energy that found decomposition reduced the technology's effectiveness, you know, which is actually disturbing on multiple fronts. You know, one, why is the DOE researching facial recognition on decomposition, decomposing bodies?
Your tax dollars at work, baby.
Kind of surprised they didn't say, well, radiation reduces the effectiveness because, you know, DOD manages all the nukes.
Forces the skin to slough off.
I mean, they could say, well, we have a hard time, you know, accurately identifying super mutants, which would have made more sense.
Yeah. It's ghouls. A little Fallout joke for anyone that's played. Yeah.
In case you didn't get that one. But that actually is one of the uses I actually think is actually kind of reasonable, the identifying the dead. Yeah. The combat misinformation thing, I have no idea what that's got to do with facial recognition. Is your face lying to me?
No, but I could see where it'd be used if you have somebody performs an attack and you have video of that attack, you might be able to identify who did it. You know, let's say some Russia sneaks some people in without uniforms or in fake uniforms that launch an attack.
Right, but what's that got to do with misinformation?
Well, they could use it to prove that the Russians did it. I mean, there's one of the Tom Clancy novels.
Oh, so you say if someone was denying an attack, then you'd say, we have evidence that someone's conducted the attack. Is that what you mean?
Kind of, yeah. So in one of the Tom Clancy novels, I think it was a terrorist group, I don't remember who, they're trying to start a war between the U.S. and Russia. And they put people in Russian uniforms and they ran them over. This was set back when East and West Berlin was still a thing. They just attacked in Russian uniforms and then the Americans struck back.
So the Russians struck back.
Yeah, kind of a false flag operation. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's it. That would have been way easier to say. You're right.
You would not have gotten your required number of syllables out though.
You're right. We have a word limit and a time limit for this. So we got to eat up every bit of it. No, but if you have video, especially there's been articles saying this is the most documented war ever to occur. You can be combing through the social media feeds using facial information to try and identify, you know, oh, this video says, like, what do we see? We saw that video. This doesn't really help because it's a tank, but we saw the video of the tank driving over a car. Yeah. And the people identified it as a Russian tank that's driving over a Ukrainian car. And then somebody else came out later and said, it's actually a Ukrainian tank driving over a Ukrainian car, which makes less sense. But again, like, I don't know. I don't know my Russian tanks or my Ukrainian tanks, but this may be a way that you can look at, you know, videos from various places and being like, oh, this is Sergey. And, you know, let's go look at his thing. He's, you know, wow, you know, he's way out of his home in Siberia where he posts about how he's in this army unit or something.
I suppose I'm still skeptical.
That's fair.
But Ukrainian tanks and Russian tanks are probably the same. I bet Ukrainians are still running T-72s.
Probably right. Aircraft, same tanks.
Yeah. MiGs and T-72s probably. So,
but they're up to T-80. Was the T-80? T-80 didn't make it into...
I don't know. It's been a while since I even care about the T numbering for the tanks.
My knowledge of Russian military stuff is completely out of Tom Clancy novels.
Well, Tom Clancy is a very diligent researcher, so probably pretty good.
Yeah, hopefully. Another use is identification of people to reunite refugees separated from their families. That one kind of makes sense. You can not validate. Really.
I mean, you can't, what people can't speak, like Bob Smith.
But again,
and then you can say, hey, I'm looking for Bob Smith.
How much do you trust them? Like, what if these people that are reuniting are actually a, you know, squad of Russian infantry that are reuniting to go cause more mayhem? All right, it's a stretch. Anyways.
Yeah.
So
I was thinking about how that would work.
Yeah, they could still have pre-identified names. Yep. Anyways.
And of course, the article says, and other uses. You know, it's like an American law, you know, and other purposes.
Yeah.
You know, this is to give school children milk and other purposes.
So the company offered its support to Ukraine immediately after the beginning of the invasion. And they pointed out they've never had Russia as a client, which frankly makes me think they're less useful as a client. They're less useful because they don't have a full database of Russians.
Well, I mean, considering Clearview does most of their work with Western law enforcement, it's probably just they're just not on their short call list. But I thought it was interesting that they reached out to the Ukrainian government. The Ukrainian government did say, man, we could really use this service. No, they had a salesman show up at the door with their card and say, hey, here's my card. I'm from Clearview. And guess what we can do for you?
That's interesting. So they're trying to build up a portfolio of services that they're going to turn around and try and sell to other governments.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily a portfolio of services so much as saying, hey, guess where we can get more photos of people? So let's add an additional, you know, let's get access to more photos and increase the amount of photos that we have in our database. Definitely. And what's also interesting is Clearview calls its actions in Ukraine a special operation, which is kind of ludicrous considering Clearview is supposed to be a company, you know? I mean, I haven't worked for a company where we did any special operation. I did plenty of operations while I was in the military, but no operations when I was in a regular company. But what was interesting in the article also is that the Clearview chief executive, Hon Tan Thak, said that the exact purpose which the Ukrainian defense ministry is using technology is unclear, which is, I mean, that taken into what we just talked about a second ago, where they offered their services to the Ukrainian government, is a little bit disturbing because they're like, hey, they go to the Ukrainian government and say, hey, we can do this thing for you. And then they give it to the Ukrainian government. And then the Ukrainian government does whatever they want with it outside of what this company went to them to talk about in the first place.
Yeah.
But additionally, they said that the Ministry of Digital Transformation said it was considering offers from US-based artificial intelligence companies like Clearview. But I guess Clearview is not the only one to go knocking on the Ukrainian government's door and saying, hey, guess what we can do for you? And when people said, you know, like we were talking about at the checkpoint, that, hey, this is dangerous, could get people killed, you know, Clearview kind of washed their hands of it and said, Oh, well, we tell them not to use it as the only source.
Oh, well, thank goodness.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to work out really well, because they don't even know what the defense ministry is using this technology for, but they told them only to use it in a certain way. So I'm sure that's the way it's going to be used.
Yeah, and we'll talk later, but the accuracy rate on these is not as good as you'd think. Certainly not as good as shown in movies. So in the U.S., I don't know about Ukraine, unfortunately, because I don't know how their constitution is set up and how their rights to privacy are set up or any of that. But in the U.S., many maintain that this type of facial recognition done without permission, Clearview AI, which was the part of the government, they extract the facial recognition from billions of people by scanning social networks and posted stuff on the internet. They maintain this violates the right to privacy, which makes me wonder, actually, because the Constitution was not written when there was ubiquitous surveillance. Generally speaking, when the Constitution was written, if nobody watches you go somewhere, then nobody knows you went there. But these days, where you're monitored, whether it's with facial recognition or video camera or, you know, your car's own built-in tracking devices, the one you carry around in your pocket, I don't know where the right to privacy ends. Does it end at your doorstep? Once you're in public, do you have the right to privacy anymore?
Well, I think it's that from my perspective, it's simple enough to extrapolate out from what the original intent was, right? Mm-hmm. So the original intent was that there need to be a warrant that says what they're going to search or what they're going to see specifically. And just because the fact that you walked out your door doesn't indicate that they should be watching you or surveilling you or searching and seizing, you know, just because you are in public. If that makes any kind of sense, as far as, you know, with the versus the fishing expeditions or whatever that law enforcement could go on just by picking someone off the street, you know, the intent was to prevent mass collection of information from people without real justification. And I think you could just say, well, the collection of surveillance data by the government on everyday people without justification is akin to the same thing. If I'm making any kind of sense there.
Well, what's interesting to me is actually I was doing a little Google search on the side, and there is no right to privacy. There's no specifically enumerated right to privacy.
No, not in the Constitution.
No, which is interesting because you hear that all the time.
You say it's inferred. Inferred right to privacy with the Fourth Amendment.
Well, there's Supreme Court Justice Louis Brandeis. There was an assertion that they have the right to be left alone. It didn't exist as constitutional doctrine until 1961 and didn't form a basis of a Supreme Court ruling until 1965. Interesting. So this is kind of an assumed right that we've gained after the fact. I should have done some more research on that before we ran into this. So 1974, there was a Privacy Act.
Yeah, that came out of the whole church hearings and all that.
Interesting. All right. Well, we'll skip that for now then. So I did find a interesting survey on how acceptable people found facial recognition based on who was using it and where it was used. And the quick top line results were 59% of people said it was acceptable for law enforcement to use facial recognition. 30% of people said it was acceptable for companies who are tracking employee attendance to use facial recognition, and 15% thought that it was acceptable for advertisers tracking people looking at ads to use facial recognition. I know you have strong thoughts on this, David.
Yeah, I really wish these numbers were more inverted, because, you know, the people it's perfectly acceptable for the people with the guns who will shoot you in the face to use facial recognition, but that not the people who are going to try to convince you to buy a taco. But in this day and age, it's almost moot because the law enforcement gets everything from private companies who are doing this. So even if you accept that it's okay for advertisers to do it, know that the advertisers are giving that to the government. So it's a lose-lose scenario. There's no upside to that, to whoever's doing it.
Yeah, but yep. Although now, since I know there's apparently no actual right to privacy, I'm a little interesting. That doesn't change how I feel about it, but now I don't have a basis for it other than don't tell the people with guns a way to identify all of us and track all of us.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the Supreme Court's working on getting rid of that implied right to privacy anyway.
Yeah. Yep. And then it will end right on your doorstep because you'll be secure in your home based on the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. But as soon as you step foot in public, So let's talk a little bit about the private companies versus the government a little more. We were talking before we started this episode about finding conspiracy theories on facial recognition. I was like, I haven't found any conspiracy theories. I found, you know, real things that governments are doing. I checked
and
there is actually at least one conspiracy theory on Snapchat. Although frankly, this kind of goes for Instagram or any of those social
media. Anything
that
does 40.
Yeah, encourages you to post it and tag all your friends. But they were saying that Snapchat was building a facial recognition database, and it eventually was dismissed as a conspiracy theory. And I don't think it is. I think that even if Snapchat themselves is not building a facial recognition library, anything, I guess Snapchat's between people, you're not posting it like TikTok or Instagram, but I have no doubt that companies like Clearview are using those posted TikToks and running all of those through their database.
Well, how does Snapchat work though?
Is there Snapchat no is between
intermediate
people.
Server?
Well, there is an intermediate server. I'm just saying It's not publicly available. They would have to, you know, work with somebody to build. Work with somebody to build that facial recognition database. Whereas things like Instagram Reels and TikTok are just posted to the public and everyone can see them.
Because I was thinking about the Snapchat just selling the database to someone else. You know, they wouldn't even build the facial recognition. They just sell it to Clearview. But I was just trying to figure out if that would supposedly, you know, you Snapchat between people and they can't see it or whatever. So they wouldn't have the opportunity to capture all those images.
Yeah, I don't know. That's one of those young kids things. I don't really know how it works. I installed it once to talk with one person and then promptly uninstalled it afterwards. Yeah. So what are some other use cases for facial recognition beyond what Ukraine is doing with it? The first one is law enforcement. Law enforcement loves using facial recognition. There was an example of police in Miami worked with Clearview to identify participants in a Black-led protest against police violence. There's other types of recognition that we'll discuss further via video, but they're all kind of similar.
Yeah. Police violence, take this.
Schools, another government example. Apparently, I have never seen this myself, but it doesn't surprise me. Schools are using facial recognition to do things like take attendance, monitor behavior, monitor attention. You know, Big Brother saying, keep paying attention to your boring school teacher. Watch student movement. For example, they called out on universities that may be watching where students are going on campus. Can't have that. They might do something dangerous. And watch for non-students on campus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That is so creepy. Can you?
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the, you know, companies kind of look at what they call engagement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how engaged employees
yeah.
are.
Yeah.
You know, so trying to figure out how engaged the students are in, you know, their indoctrination.
Yeah. Speaking of indoctrination and engagement, apparently some companies are using another company called HireVue that scores videos of candidates on confidence, IQ, personality type, and criminality, which I would love to know what exactly they're putting in as their, you know, what the criminality, like his left eye twitched 3 times. That means he's a murderer.
It may be the criminality may simply be a linking, say,
mapping.
We've got a mapping
to warrants or something, or.
Yeah. Or, there are police departments that post booking photos.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. The people change their name or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm seeing the next step to this is they're going to sell, like, every laptop comes with a camera now. They're going to sell that you have to leave your camera on, and they're going to, you know, track your eye movement. You know, were they looking at their screen 98% of the time? Did they look happy all the time?
Yeah. How did they respond to this ad? Was it happy?
I'm talking about companies. I'm talking about like doing the work, not talking about the ads, but yeah, we can talk about ads.
Oh, I see.
You're right. That would be a thing too. Like you're walking by an ad in the street and it sees that you paid attention to it for a second. It identifies you. It's like, oh, we've got their email. Let's send them this coupon or whatever. So he looked at the ad for more than 0.5 seconds. He's obviously interested. Well, or maybe it's just that you had a scantily clad woman on the thing.
We have a way to game the system. I was thinking, you know, imagine you're in a meeting on WebEx or Zoom or something, mm-hmm. and the presenter is getting feedback from your engagement level or how you feel about the meeting or the presentation that you're giving in real time.
Yeah, be interesting. But again, creepy. I don't think Yeah, but and everything that you can find where it's something useful like that, like we talked before the meeting about, wouldn't it be cool if you could force your vendors to get on video and then it could like rank them in real time on percentage, how likely they are they're lying? You're like, does this handle ransomware? And they're like, yes, it stops 100% of ransomware. And then you have like a little heads up display on the side that says 57% chance they're lying. That would be interesting. But then conversely, the company would just turn around and do it to you constantly. Like you're on a meeting and you're talking to people in your company and you're like, we're never going to go under this year. And it's like 90% chance of lying.
Oh, be even worse if you get government auditors.
Do you have this control? Do you have firewalls? Does all network traffic traverse through firewalls that are set to block everything? Yes.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. And then people that can lie and not be caught about it are suddenly a major hot topic.
Well, would tie into the higher view thing.
Yeah.
Where you're looking for somebody who can be deceptive. We're going to hire you to be our auditor interface person.
Hey, where you would ask them
without being caught.
You would ask them questions where you'd expect them to lie and see.
Or know their lies. Or not.
Yeah.
They can't ask them questions where you already know the answer, but the incentive is for them not to give you that answer.
Jesus. They specifically call out at HireVue, high volume hiring software for hourly positions, just like cranking people into those low level positions, and 4 to 6 question video interview. HireVue's proprietary machine learning algorithms surface the candidates that will interact best with your customers. Interesting.
Yeah.
So in and above the previous instances for maybe facial recognition and constant surveillance is horrifying. But there's also the thing where facial recognition is only 99.97% accurate in perfect conditions. And that drops down to 90% or worse if conditions are less than perfect. Now, I know 99.97% sounds phenomenal. That is 3 false positives per 10,000 people. That is so good. Except if you pushed 1 million people through the facial recognition algorithm to find 1 bad guy, you would find 1 bad guy and you would have 300 false positives. So this is the same issue actually that affects a lot of SOC rules, where a rule might be 99.9999% accurate at discerning if an event is malicious or not. But when you push millions and millions of events through it, as you would in any kind of reasonable network, it's going to generate a lot of false positives.
Right. And you know, going back to the HireVue thing, they're talking about high volume, right? So anytime you're talking about high volume, you also have a multiplicable effect on the false positive rate, which is not useful.
And that 99.97% is for facial recognition. I'm sure they're not 99.97% accurate for whatever they're looking for.
Oh, for the confidence and IQ and personality type.
Yeah. Yep.
And of course it has problems in its algorithms as well that make it prejudicial based on skin color or whether you're a woman or not.
I found that women were misidentified 18% more often than men. And I actually found a really interesting graphic on the people of color. So there's this study from Harvard, which of course means that it's phenomenal, where they checked 5 facial recognition technologies: Microsoft, Face++, IBM, Amazon, and Kairos. And they found that all of them misidentified darker females, females with darker skin color, by up to 34.4%. Best one was 20.8% worth. So, and it's interesting. You'll find that generally speaking, Caucasian males are the highest accuracy, and males with darker skin are pretty close, and white females are pretty close. But for some reason, darker females with darker skin is way lower than the rest, which is really interesting.
Never mind.
Fair enough. All right. So while I was doing some research on this, I did find a couple interesting articles on how to prevent identification via facial recognition and other surveillance tech. I don't know if you want to go back up, is there any other horrifying things that facial recognition can do that you want to talk about before we talk about stopping it?
No, I don't think so. I think we'll probably revisit this some other time as well.
First one is eliminate all pictures from the internet. That's no doubt going to be super easy.
Of you, not all pictures on the internet.
Yeah, leave up to people you don't like. Now, unfortunately, that's not going to work, mostly because pretty much every picture you have that's on the internet that's publicly posted has already been added to these databases, unless it's posted in some obscure corner of the web. Also, driver's licenses. You already have a driver's license picture that's up there, which actually made me wonder. Generally speaking, for facial recognition, they like to have multiple angles so that they can get things like, you know, what does he look like from the side? What does he look like from three quarters to drive up the rate there? And it makes me wonder if in the future they're going to have to do a full 3D scan of your face for your driver's licenses.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know, they do that. And then your image on the driver's license would be a hologram. So depending on how you turn it,
that'd be cool.
It shows the different angles.
Yeah. That'd be cool, but that would make facial recognition easier. So, but anyways, for things that you can actually do, you certainly want to stop indiscriminately sharing. At the very least, you want to restrict all your sharing to your friends. So only your friends can see the photos that you post. This at least prevents future pictures from being added. You know, if you chop off your nose or have drastic facial surgery to prevent you from being identified, then boom, they don't have the new you. Don't tag your friends and ask them not to tag you. Although Facebook these days automatically starts tagging you because everybody's posted enough pictures that it just automatically recognizes them. There is a software tool from a university called Fox that if you run your images through it, it makes small changes that aren't apparent to the eye, but apparently do mess with the algorithms.
Oh, nice.
Kind of cool.
So yeah. What, you can run it through there and then upload the picture?
And then upload it. And it, apparently it like messes with the, I don't know how. I'm not smart enough to read through the information about it.
But Tyler would know.
Yeah, probably. This is just an AI problem. Is that, what is it, a training problem?
Mm-hmm.
But don't use facial recognition on your device or frankly biometric at all. I have heard, I'm not a lawyer, so don't treat this as lawyer speak, but I've heard that if you have a PIN or a password on your phone, cops cannot unlock it because that's a Fifth Amendment against incriminating yourself. But if it has facial recognition or a thumbprint, they can just push your thumb against it and unlock it.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. And I'm not sure because I think this has been decided differently in different jurisdictions.
Oh boy. Number two, mask up. This is David's favorite one.
Oh, I love me a mask.
Generically speaking, hoodies and sunglasses aren't enough. You need to cover your mouth and cheeks as well.
Although it's the best one to go with.
Although there are, I found special sunglasses with light reflecting frames that can dazzle cameras that need either direct light or infrared light. I called reflecticals. Those were kind of cool. There was a special sweater that a university made called the Invisibility Cloak. It fools the camera into not recognizing that it's a body. So it doesn't expect to see a face above the body. It's because the facial recognition is not just looking for your face. It's like a lot of them are looking for the whole body. It was a really ugly sweater. It basically had like a farmer's market scene on it so that like there was no outline. It was kind of a loose, shapeless sweater. So there was no real outline of a body there.
Actually, you know, it's probably an invisibility
for
code.
Women.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was going with that. No yeah. Woman would see you if you're wearing that sweater.
No one has proven if any of the makeup tricks, the dazzle camo for facial recognition work on modern algorithms. The guy that invented it said it worked back in the early 2010s, but he doesn't believe it works on modern algorithms. So it looks cool though. Masks can increase the error rate to be between 5% and 50% depending on the algorithm, according to liberties.eu. And they also had a study in there where they talked about how Homeland Security found that masks and airport facial recognition software were only 77% successful at identifying the people. So again, once you talk about the law of large numbers, if you're in a place where there's hundreds or thousands of people going through, 77% success rate means that it's probably not going to find you. Or if it does find you, it's going to find a lot of other false positives too.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure, you know, in the last 2 years of COVID that they've been using this to improve their algorithms because everybody's wearing masks now.
No, you're
now
right.
You have to at the airports.
Yeah. And they probably have. So I guess the countermeasure there is don't wear the same mask when you don't want to be identified as you wore when you did want to be identified. So, meh. And as algorithms improve, masks will be less effective, especially as David mentioned, that they've got a large training set of people wearing masks. And this one's not facial recognition, but it's just more of a generic surveillance tip. Try to keep as little detail in your clothes as possible. The guidance here is usually all black, no patterns. This can help prevent people from easily following you from camera to camera. as they're trying to figure out, you know, where you came from or where you went to, especially if you're in a group of people, maybe going to a protest, you're all wearing black. It's very difficult to kind of individually track you.
Yeah. Well, if they're using gate recognition though, that might be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the tricks on that one? Like put a pebble in your shoe?
I would think something like that. Anything to change the way that you walk.
Maybe like shoe lifts or something, or wear like a heavy,
like a leg brace on one leg.
Mm, yeah. And I know
with that is you have to keep change. You'd probably have to keep changing that up because you never know when they've captured your gait. So yeah. You don't know what, you know, which gait they have for you. Maybe they have one where you're already limping. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a challenging one.
I don't know though, if you're in a group of people and you're all wearing black, it might be harder for them to pick out your gait anyways, because they might be able to, if you're moving in a group.
It's more difficult. You mean like zebras?
Yeah. You're all wearing black. You just all blend together depending on the resolution of the camera, how bright it is. Yeah. I don't know. I know one of the things when we looked at Antifa has a guide on like what to wear and what to do in a riot or a protest. And one of the things they talk about is having like a change of clothes so that you're not wearing the same clothes in, the same clothes out. So that's something to look at as well. Don't drive your car or use a trackable method of getting to places. License plate tracking is now ubiquitous. Some police departments just do it as they drive around. You've seen them with the cameras on each side of the hood. Yeah, pointing at a 45 degree angle. They just scan every license plate as they drive by. That's not just the police. Parking lot owners in cities will do it just to track how long cars are parked. You know, when they say 2 hour driving or whatever, they'll drive around every 2 hours or so. They'll have the cameras going. And if they see the same one a second time or a third time, then they'll stop and give you a ticket. Toll roads use it every time you go through a toll road.
It's a lot easier than the old chalk on the tire.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they turn around and sell that too, which is vexing.
Who would they sell it to?
You know what? I don't, there's a private company that buys up that stuff, but I don't know what they do to it.
No, unspeakable things, I'm sure. I would say, regardless, if it's being generated, the government is buying it or collecting it. So yeah, just assume that regardless of who's generating the data or the images or whatever, it's going to end up in the government's hands.
Private companies gathering plate data are selling access to people's movements for $20 a search. So, you know, if you've got a girlfriend that broke up with you and you want to know where she's going, that's the most horrifying thing that I can think of.
Stalking.
Yeah. 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 I was not being serious there. I was not suggesting you actually do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I think the idea of probably that is for, you know, thinking of it in a more, I don't know, not necessarily benign perspective, but, you know, they've gotten away from this in recent times, but in the old detective shows, the detectives were always limping by, making a living on what they called divorce cases, which is following the spouses around to see if they were having an affair or not. Yeah. Then, of course, they would end up with the big score where they were getting an actual interesting investigation to conduct. But I was thinking that, you know, that kind of thing would be something that a private detective would use.
Yeah. Apparently private detectives and repossession outfits, repos, are the two big ones. So there's an article here. Apparently Motherboard did a search that found somebody who was willing to let them search their license plate. So they paid the $20 and they popped up dozens of sightings spanning years. System found photos of the car parked outside the owner's house, the car in another state when its driver went to visit family, the car parked in spots in the owner's city near their work. Each was tagged with the time and GPS coordinates of the car. Wow.
Man, this furry one there is parked outside the house.
Yeah. Yeah. That's disturbing. And that's open to anybody who's willing to pay for $20 for it. So the repo outfit makes sense. Like they're looking for the car to go and get it and grab it. Apparently it costs $15,000 to outfit a car or a vehicle with four cameras that can, you know, just constantly. So apparently repo men's vehicles is one of the major sources of this. Thousands of cameras mounted on hundreds of repo men's vehicles.
Hmm. You know, it might be worth $20 just to put your license plate in.
Yeah.
See what information they have on yours.
What's this license plate? LPR residential neighborhood. So residential neighborhoods are a big one. I actually found an article on a neighborhood here in DC. I added it to the end of the show notes. So a McLean neighborhood is adding license plate tracking scanners to the boundaries of their neighborhood so they can track who goes in and out of their neighborhood.
Wow.
Yep. They said that they've got...
Doesn't surprise me though.
Yeah. Rich people neighborhood. They said they've got 35... the company has 35 customers in Virginia and 25 of them are private and only 10 are law enforcement.
Interesting.
So there's 25 customers in Virginia that are capturing license plate data. Non-government. That's interesting.
Well, I wonder how many of those 25 are government contractors though that are doing on behalf of the government.
That's fair. That's fair.
Because you were talking about Virginia.
Yeah. This article doesn't mention the company that does it. That's annoying. I would go pay $20 to go see. It says DRN. DRN is such a blank. These companies never announce what they do, right? It's always behind some kind of weird. Have you seen like the things you can put over your license plate, like a bulb or something? I know that they're supposed to prevent flash cameras from seeing it.
I've seen those things. I don't know how effective any of them are. It seems kind of gimmicky to me, probably more wishful thinking than actual substance. And I mean, you can only test it by putting it on there and then running a red light camera, see if you get a ticket.
I think I've seen like spray stuff or like supposedly like IR reflective stuff. Because these cameras can't work. If they work at night, they've got to be using IR.
Yeah. Might be better to have one of those flipping license plate like James Bond, you know. Just flip it when you go hit the toll booth.
Yeah.
And then flip it back when you get past it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening to the Security Serengeti podcast. Follow us on Twitter @SerengetiSec and download and listen to us on your favorite podcast app.